How y'all feel? Deep, bad job. Multi-hostile. Highly motivated, motivated, motivated. Ah!
All I want to know if you got your popcorn ready.
On three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH, 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, welcome back. 1 hour down here on a Thursday. Hopefully things are going well for you and yours. Shane Dennis, Bruce Hurdle, Chad Chambers back at the studio. Talk to Jason White here in about 25 minutes from now. We'll stroll down memory lane as Wichita State should have been playing Creighton in a three-game series starting tonight at 6:30 at TD Ameritrade Ballpark. I'm sure Jason White has plenty of memories of the Creighton Blue Jays because his first year was my first year, and that was 1991. We all know what happened in 1991, so sure, Jason will have some interesting thoughts about that. OTD, courtesy of Superior Rents. That's coming up, of course, as usual, 38 minutes from now. And that's what's on tap, courtesy of our friends at Side Pockets.
Who do you think of most? Is Creighton the one that you think of most? As far as the series that you guys were, in your era, were most aligned with, were most anticipated, most connected to? I mean, how could it not be Creighton during that particular time? It's, because they were...
The gap between them and everybody else is cavernous.
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
So to answer your question, yeah. And in 1992, Jason White's other season at Wichita State, my sophomore season, his last, my second, Creighton actually beat us 2 out of 3 at their place, and we split with them in the Valley Tournament. Although Mike Brantley got the last laugh, he shut him out in the championship game to give us the auto bid. But that 91 season was ridiculous. That we beat him 8 times. Yeah. So we talk about that in a little bit. Shout out to my son Clayton, who in his senior season that he's in the midst of, or his senior year, I should say, in the midst of at Andover High, has a baking class. So he is cooking for credit, or was, and yesterday delivered some vegetable beef soup and chocolate chip banana bread.
Damn.
As a dessert slash side.
It's a good effort.
And the soup is about half gone. Ate it twice yesterday. And just ate a little bit of the banana bread. Didn't want to go, you know, kind of make it last and don't go overboard on it. But it was phenomenal. So, Clayton, I don't think you're listening, but thanks, buddy. It was excellent.
And nice.
I told him beforehand, so this isn't just grandstanding. I told him how good it was. But I wanted to give him a little love that he can cook a little bit. And he's more than welcome to continue to deliver food to his old man whenever he feels like it. It was great.
Yeah, having the ability to cook – that's a good effort. I unfortunately never got that gene. I've got the gardening gene.
Oh, okay.
But I didn't get the cooking gene. And, I mean, spaghetti.
Right.
Popcorn. You know, some real basics.
Right.
You know, my popcorn.
Hey, speaking
is good.
Of popcorn, do you actually cook popcorn in a pan?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
My old man always used to do that too, and it was phenomenal that way. Yeah.
Yeah, I do. I've got a really old pan that I use that has just seen its better days, but man, it just.
And honestly, that was before we had microwave popcorn anyway, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we didn't even have it back when you and I were teenagers growing up. I mean, it was on the stove. You had to make it on the stove.
Right. And I prefer to make it that. In fact, made some last night that very way. So.
Wow.
And would probably say that I do it 2 to 3 times a week, make popcorn.
Wow.
I like making popcorn.
My dad made it all the time.
Yeah. And Sarah and Kate, my wife and youngest daughter, who's still in the house with us, never try it. Well, they'll do it every now and then under duress, like if I'm gone and they get their jonesing for it. Mm-hmm. But generally, they defer to me to make the popcorn. So that's the one area that is mine, the popcorn.
Oh, that's nice.
I got that going for me.
I don't need to tell you to keep that going, but keep that going. I love that.
I know, I love it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, a little bit of sports talk here mixed in this segment. The Chiefs ended up picking up a former teammate of Patrick Mahomes in college, DeAndre Washington. Signed mm-hmm. him to a one-year deal. Behind Damian Williams, currently as it stands, the Chiefs have LeSean McCoy and Spencer Ware. LeSean McCoy was a healthy scratch down the stretch multiple times, and they already let Spencer Ware go once. The Raiders' backfield when Washington was there, a bit crowded, and I guess you could say he was the backup running back because he got the starts when Josh Jacobs got hurt late in the season. And actually in one of the games against you guys, against the Broncos in a loss, he had 25 touches when Josh Jacobs was on the shelf. Of course, Jalen Richard is their pass-catching running back. He's not a three-down type of back. He's a change of pace. But in the two games where Jacobs was gone for significant time, DeAndre Washington had 40 carries for 142 yards and 10 receptions in two games.
Yeah.
Now, he's not going to be asked to do that in Kansas City, but no more than they think of LeSean McCoy or Spencer Ware, I think this is a home run one-year deal that has very little downside. I could be way off, but just on the surface of what DeAndre Washington has done or did do in Oakland, I love this. He caught 36 passes, and they don't need a bell cow running back anyway.
No.
And Damian Williams isn't that. Damian Williams is a little fragile, too. I think we can both agree, right? I mean,
he
got banged up a little bit along with everybody else on that roster. So if that happens again.
I'm buying. And his familiarity with Patrick Mahomes doesn't hurt. So that's a good thing, too. Why not? And I like the way the Chiefs use their running backs anyway.
Right.
The Chiefs have that part kind of figured out. And, well, they have a lot of things figured out. But I like the way that they utilize their running backs. They're not caught up on bell cow. They're just caught up on situational football. And then the distribution of weapons. Their running back situation has been made much better by the fact that they have a tight end that has to be accounted for.
Yep.
Receivers on either ends that need to be accounted for. A quarterback that needs to be oftentimes spied. So they've got a lot of weapons that make those running back room better. The running back room in and of itself isn't the type of weapon that's front page, that's going to dice you because of how good they are, a la Tyreek Hill, Patrick Mahomes, Kelsey, Watkins, etc. But they're guys that are functional within the offense that create another dimension that need to be taken care of and that inevitably make a big play or two during a game, which is what they're designed to do. Good stuff.
And I think Derrick Henry is a dinosaur. What he does, he's the outlier. He's the exception, not the rule. Nobody's going to get 350 touches anymore, least of all in Kansas City's offense when you've got the guys that you have. And the final number that I'll give you for DeAndre Washington last year, fumbles, 0.
Yeah. Boy, that's nice.
Nothing will get your butt on the bench, especially for Andy Reid, quicker than a fumble. And even though he didn't say as much, that probably couldn't have helped LeSean McCoy at all.
No, I think that's probably what did it for him. You can't fumble the football. in the NFL.
No, you cannot. Fumbling will not be tolerated.
You can't turn it over, man. You can't turn it over. No patience for dropping the football. None.
Yep. And so, for that matter, dropping the ball as a receiver.
Yes.
Drops and fumbles. You can forget it. So, there's my There's me vouching for your argument.
It's a good
DeAndre
one.
Washington. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will be another cog in that wheel in an offense that pretty much re-signed everybody. Right? Who did they
pretty much
who did they lose skill guy wise? I think they re-signed everybody.
No, they didn't lose anyone skill wise.
Or under contract. Yeah. They were either already under contract or they re-signed them. So we'll see how reloading works for them in kind of standing pat. And now all that's left is the draft, which we've talked about may or may not be problematic with internet connections and landlines and basements. And how much are we going to get to see? How are we
going
to go about
putting... I think we'll see a fair amount, but now they're going to do a dress rehearsal. Which, again, very wise,
mm-hmm.
smart to do that, work out some kinks, make sure that your safeguards are okay, that your defaults are good, and that you have things that work in a backup capacity, because it's a first for everyone. It's going to be a first for getting it broadcasted. It's going to be a first for putting it into motion and implementing it and trying to make it work. There's going to be a lot of first here, so it's good to have a run-through on it. So let me ask you a question, and it just kind of came up as you were going through, as we were talking a little bit about the Chiefs and the fact that they have stood pat. You know, one of the things about that inevitably comes up in discussions of why it's so difficult to repeat is that teams exhale. Mm-hmm. After winning a championship, because so much goes into it. And the natural feeling and inclination is to enjoy the fruits of your labor. Not to the point of distraction, but just to the point of, damn, we put so much into this, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy the moment. Has this offseason, the way that it's gone, and now, especially with coronavirus, mm-hmm. will it almost work in the Chiefs' favor in that what distractions have there been over the last month, month and a half, over the next month, month and a half? Will it actually funnel into just the desire to get back to normalcy and God give me football and I'm ready to go? Won't that be a benefit for a team that could have been distracted by this, that, or the other thing?
Yeah. Nobody's going on taking my bow tours because you're not able to.
They're not doing
allowed
it.
To. Yeah. That's,
those things aren't there as normal. Just a thought.
That's worth kicking around and keeping them sharper than maybe they normally would be. That's an interesting deep dive into what gives you a Super Bowl hangover particularly.
Right.
And what would make the Chiefs hangover proof. But I think your argument has a little validity because of the pandemic that has tempered everything, including, post-Super Bowl celebrations, although I'm sure the Chiefs did their share, in the month or so after the game actually was played. But when it comes to the off season, the Chiefs are no further ahead or behind anybody else in any facet. We're all
in
neutral. So yeah, I can see why you said that. And
it's just interesting to think and they're the clear favorites anyway, but I'm not so sure that they haven't. And we'll see once everybody gets on the field. But my guess is that teams are going to be running to the door to get back on the field. Derek Wolfe, who is one of the most forthright, honest athletes that I've ever covered used to always say of training camp, OTAs and things like that, no, they suck.
Yeah.
Nobody really likes them. You do them because you understand the importance of team building, the importance of implementing things, especially for new guys. It all has its place, but it sucks. I got a feeling it's not going to suck quite so much now.
Yeah, how about now?
I got a feeling now it's going to be more like, get me in the building, let's go. Play that damn music during practice, and let's play football.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. It's one of those, you know, it's taken away from you, and normalcy is redefined. I think you want to get back to things that make you feel normal. And that would be my guess. That's what's different.
Even the stuff that sucks.
Totally.
Give even me the stuff that sucks for 500, please, Alex.
Totally.
Yep.
Yeah, those guys, look, they don't like that. I mean, no. Especially those veterans, because they all know what's coming. They know where they need to be. They know what's important, et cetera, et cetera. They've done it 1,000 times before. But I'm thinking this year's probably a little different. And not just for the Chiefs, but for everyone. But the difference is the Chiefs are the champions coming off of a Super Bowl year. Is this the cure for a Super Bowl hangover?
Yeah.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see.
Very interesting. All right. Speaking of good times and things that didn't suck, 1991, Wichita State baseball. That was pretty cool. Wichita State won 66 games and got to the championship game of the College World Series and should have been opening a three-game series tonight against Creighton up at TD Ameritrade Ballpark. Instead of real baseball, we'll reflect back on the era of Jason White, and specifically 1991 when the Shockers went to the title game of the College World Series. Jason played 2 years at Wichita State. We'll catch up with Whitey and talk a little nostalgic Shocker baseball when we come back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.